Blog Talk Radio.
Councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtain.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths. Secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Hello and welcome to the Prophecy Zone. My name is Phil Armstrong, and we're going to be with you for the next hour and a half talking about Bible prophecy. Wow, it's been an interesting week. As far as the ministry is concerned, we've made leaps and bounds and a lot of headway, and we just need to praise God and thank God for what He's done for us and what He's continuing to do in this ministry. And we need to send a shout out to the Lord Jesus Christ for His salvation, wonderful salvation. But we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, in the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday and Saturday at 7 o'clock as we talk about end-time prophecy in line with the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Join me, Phil Armstrong, on Blog Talk Radio as we discuss end-time events in line with Jesus Christ's second coming, earthquakes, pestilence, the mark of the beast technology, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the dividing of Jerusalem, and much more. Join us for our action-packed information that will keep you informed so you can be ready for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, join us on Blog Talk Radio. I don't know if I played that commercial twice. I have no idea because I was actually kind of distracted there. Like I said, I'd like to welcome everybody to the show. It's been a long week so far. We got a couple more days left in it, but praise God. There's some things going on in the Middle East. A lot of activity, back and forth, babbling, trying to get peace agreements signed. All kinds of interesting things, but we're going to be talking about that on Sunday. We're going to have a couple of minutes with our Rapture Ready radio, so just be there, and hopefully God will bless us that day, which He will. I'd like to bring my guest on from the Watchman Chronicles. His name is Phoenix, and Zola is a blessing having him The last two times were an awesome time. We like to get them here for 2 weeks. I mean, 2 hours, 2 weeks, 2 hours. That would be awesome as well. But let me bring my guest on.
How's it going, Phil?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Oh, just staying, trying to stay alive out here in this crazy world we live in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes.
There's been a lot of breaking news lately, and that's why I kind of wanted to come on your show. Some real interesting news broke about 2 days ago. If you don't mind, I'd like to cover it real quick.
Yes, sir.
It was on abcnews.com is where the article came from.
Okay.
It was called A License to Kill, okay?
Uh-huh.
An intelligence chief said that inside the U.S. that it's okay now that they can go in and take out American terrorists. This came straight from Director of National Intelligence, okay?
Wow. Yes.
His direct statement was, we take direct actions against terrorists in the intelligence community. If we think that direct action will involve killing an American, we get specific permission to do that. Director of National Intelligence Dennis Blair told the House Intelligence Committee. The breakdown is the Director of National Intelligence affirmed rather bluntly today, which was Tuesday, that the U.S. intelligence community has authority to target American citizens for assassination if they present a direct terrorist threat to the United States.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Just absolutely unbelievable. And the reason why I wanted to get into this, it says that there is no clarity on what he's speaking of. You see that they can go by whatever they deem is a proper terrorist, right? And I actually have in my file what it is. It's an FBI manual that was sent to the Phoenix, Arizona FBI office, okay?
Uh-huh.
And what it was is it literally defines what they come to believe as their version of terrorists. Now I'm going to go into it real quick. Give me one quick second.
All right.
And
go ahead
and expand on that. Let me know what you think about that.
Well, what I was going to say is that a while back, they were talking about Al-Qaeda, and they were starting to relate everything that Americans do. They would try to mesh the news together, sort of a psychological warfare against the American people, trying to relate various American incidents to Al-Qaeda. For instance, let's look at like training your militias. They're starting to use slick language to try to tie the two together. And what they're doing is they're using Europe, because Europe is coming out saying that this organization belongs to Al-Qaeda, this organization belongs to Al-Qaeda, even though they're European. So now they're starting to twist and try to make it look like Americans are the new Al-Qaeda. And we knew that from 9/11 because of the way we're treated. Now, how does this relate to the Bible? Well, the Bible talks about the Antichrist frustrating the saints. Now, to me, I believe slowly but surely, it's not only going to be, it's no longer going to be the American Al-Qaeda. It's going to be the Christian Al-Qaeda.
Right.
But
and Revelation 18 gets into detail about Mystery Babylon and how Mystery Babylon will be the saints and the apostles' blood will be avenged on the fall of Mystery Babylon. Speaking of basically meaning that we or a lot of other Christians that are in Mystery Babylon, which I believe is America. A lot of people think otherwise, but there'll be a lot of Christians that are going to be slaughtered. And if people want to know where the next Holocaust is, it's going to be right here in America.
Oh yeah.
They're already signing up with FEMA camps. They've already got those in position, and they open, I think, what, two every couple years?
Oh, yes, for sure. Under blankets, yep. under cover. Everything's done under cover.
Mm-hmm. And this manual I got is from a member, is investigator Al Scherer, Maricopa County Attorney's Office. Anybody want to call him and let him know that they have a problem with this? His number is 602-650-3131. And he's just pretty much going to go straightforward to, you know, mass slaughtering Christians. But let me get into who they feel is a terrorist. They have here listed right-wing extremists. It's noted as defenders of the U.S. Constitution against federal government and the U.N., super patriots. Mm-hmm. Those are considered terrorists. Groups of individuals engaged in paramilitary training. Hate groups, which is skinheads, Nazis, neo-Nazis, usually recognized by tattoos. Now, Phil, how many Americans are tattooed nowadays?
A whole bunch.
That's right. Black separatists, KKK, and right here, Christian identity. So they feel Christians are straight terrorists, according to the FBI. So are white nationalists.
Yeah.
And also, they also deem left-wing terrorists as political motivation is usually Marxist or Leninist philosophy. So I guess our president is then a terrorist too, right?
Yeah.
So right here they have right-wing and they have left-wing terrorists, and they also have Christians, KKK, white separatists, black separatists, skinheads, neo-Nazis. Then they also list eco-terrorists. They also list animal rights, doomsday cult-type groups. Well, I guess you can call those Christians too, if they believe in a doomsday, which most people do. Insurgents, rebels, or lone individuals. That's pretty much every living soul in America.
Oh, yeah. Plus, don't forget the jaywalkers.
Right. That's just about what they left off there. And it's funny because, you know, the police are going to be laughing about this, but they're coming for the police, too. Did you get a chance to watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Did you see the unveiling of the green police?
Oh, no. It was at halftime or before?
They were playing. They played a Audi. Did a series of commercials called The Green Police, and they made it really edgy. And what it was a bunch of cops in white uniforms, white and green uniforms, showed up, and they came up to a group of cops in a cop car, right? And they busted them for not recycling properly. And the cops made the comment, "Oh, is this a joke?" You know, and then the guy goes, "I'm gonna need backup." You know, like they have authority over the police. But in reality, people think this is a joke, but the green police were launched Super Bowl Sunday all over the world.
Wow, it's not really funny because what happens is a lot of times things are stolen right off under the American people's feet by legislation that we don't know anything about. So that's not so funny. Yeah.
Absolutely. And tonight I want to get into the ecological movement, which led me from the green police. But I do want to cover one more story that's even more phenomenal than this one. For folks that want to check out that story, then go to abc.com or various other the ones we just covered. So the next one is if you have a problem with the government and you think it's corrupt, you may face 10 years in jail.
What is that, a thought crime?
you know, it's something. It's called a subversive, okay? Subversives who think government is corrupt and should be controlled by the people face 10 years in prison and a $25,000 fine if they fail to register with authorities in South Carolina. Basically, anyone who comes out against the government or has a problem with the government now in South Carolina has to register with the Secretary of State. If they do not register with the Secretary of State, they can face 10 years in prison and a $25,000 fine.
Yeah, let me clarify this, folks. This what he's saying is very important because it's the Bible reflects all of it. I mean, the Bible is what we see. The Bible is God's gift to us to see into the future. It is God's gift to the Jewish people, to the Gentiles, to see his wonderful plan that he has in store for us. And for those who choose him. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because the total control that the Antichrist will have in these last days We need to see that, because when you see these things coming, this is proof that the day is upon us. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in his right hand or in their forehead. Now, the word in is
right
there. So, and the thing that we are submitting so far is what is in here. Now, does it say everything he's saying verbatim? No, because even Jesus said in the book of John that if, actually John said it, that if you wanted to make right about everything that Jesus done, you couldn't fill all the libraries, and, you know, it's just humongous. And also, you couldn't fill up all the things that the Bible is trying to say. It's because back then, like as far as Ezekiel seeing something or John the Revelator seeing something, they have to describe it in their terms. They couldn't describe it in our terms because a lot of the people back there wouldn't get it. So
right, it's way before their time.
Yeah, so to end what I'm saying right quick is that we're going to, every time I have a host, a guest, not every show, but most of the shows, I'm going to expound on the Bible as we go along, if I can. Now, I might not be able to do it all the time. If I have a senator on here, I mean, I'll probably be able to put in something, but there's a time of paraphrasing, phrasing. And there's going to be a time also that I have a guest on where I'm not going to use the chat room. And that's going to probably tick some people off, especially if I get popular. Or, you know, because the chat room is just a distraction sometimes, when, especially if you listened to my show last week. But anyway, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, that's okay. I completely agree with everything you said. It all comes down to the Bible. We all got to get a personal relationship with Jesus. And the end times are here. This article states that this is what a subversive is. This is what it says in the actual bill. It says, every member of a subversive organization or an organization subject to foreign control, every foreign agent, every person who advocates, teaches, advises, or practices the duty, necessity, or propriety of controlling, conducting, seizing, or overthrowing the government of the United States shall register with the Secretary of State. And then let me just tell the folks what our Constitution says, because it doesn't agree with that at all. Our Constitution says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men be created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That to be secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form, and them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. This is stated in the Declaration of Independence. Okay, so basically that bill completely goes against the Declaration of Independence and is not valid. So people do not have to follow it. And what's going to happen is people are going to not register with the Secretary of State, and then they're going to get thrown in prison. And then they're going to have to fight their way out, and they'll probably go bankrupt doing it.
But they got a 2010 census, too. That's factoring in.
Yeah, and that's just the battle we got to face, you know. The devil is, he knows he's running out of time. So, but as towards the previous article, I want to get in the ecological movement, because the ecological movement is really relating to what I think it'll really relate with people and why we're here and why things are going the way they are for our country. It also relates to the Bible.
Okay.
Couple quick facts. Oregon federal government in Oregon has 60% of all available land under its control.
Wow.
Idaho, the federal government holds 62%. In Utah, federal government holds 64%. And in Nevada, you'll get this, federal government holds 83% of all available land. Now, this does not include land owned by the state and city governments or land that is owned by large corporations. So you can pretty much imagine anything that's not a city, the government owns in most areas. Now, people are going to ask, why is this, okay? What they're trying to do is they're trying to mass herd the elite of the world, a.k.a. the devil, basically behind the scenes, is trying to mass move everybody into cities, okay? And they're going to be pulling people out of the country so they can control them. Also, so that they can get the land vacant and the elite can have it for to do whatever they want with it. Now, there's a large problem with a lot of this, and people probably are wondering why they're having such forest fires now. Back in the day, right, the government would own land or perhaps a wildlife sanctuary, right? Let's say like a national park. Let's say Yellowstone. Okay, so Yellowstone would have timber companies go in, and the timber companies would chop down the trees and in the land. But what would happen was they would go and do selective chopping. So what this would do was they would take the bad trees out of the forest and actually make the forest healthy. And the the ecological movement has come in, and they said that, remember the movie Ferngully? I mean, that just goes to show you the propaganda. There's mass movies out there to try to convince people that cutting down trees is wrong. In reality, it's actually healthy for the forest because it causes less forest fires. When people don't take care of the forest, brush grows in, right? If brush grows in and plus ticks and bark beetles and they eat a lot of the trees, most of these forests that are around now are 80% dead. And they also catch fire, like unbelievable fire. And if the brush was actually cleared out, then the forests would only catch fire underneath and the trees would remain. So basically what it does is just the forests catch fire to kill parasites and bacteria and ticks and bugs and different things. Yeah. It keeps them at, you know, God does these things in natural cycles. But now the forest fires are increasing because of laws passed that protect the land from being touched. But in reality, it's terrible for the land. You see what I'm getting? But these wacko ecologists complaining about logging in wildlife areas, when in fact it helps the forest, is complete craziness. And don't get me wrong, most of these ecologists do believe in the theory of how man is equal to nature, and that's another problem. When that comes down to play, man is no longer ruler of the world, if you may be, you know what I mean? Then basically, you can just go down and hunt men, and it doesn't really matter, does it?
Nope, not at all. Well, you got a nice, you got the killing of unborn babies every year, you know, God provided everything that we needed on this earth to survive. Probably billions and billions of people, times billions and billions of people. You never know. And actually, we're inhabiting. We're not even inhabiting all the land. And that's the thing. Every time I'm driving down the highway to go to from city to city, I'm just mesmerized of all the land that we're not using. So that's another. Go ahead.
You want to hear something amazing that I just learned? Was that we have now more forest and natural land than we did when the pilgrims came over.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that unbelievable? Because they populated non-forest areas.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
But this is very important because the ecologists have even gone to the extent with bringing back in endangered species, and we're talking predatory endangered species. Now, what happens, as you just mentioned, with abortions, I think there's more than one way than making sacrifices to Moloch other than abortions. I think these ecologists have literally gone out on a limb, and what's happening is they're bringing in all you're not allowed to hunt bears. You're not allowed to hunt mountain lions. And so these things come in and they start massive breeding, right? Well, there's a reason why our forefathers killed these animals, because they hunted humans, right?
Wow.
So what's the most thing that they go for? They go for children, okay?
Yeah. Yep.
So I think that could be another major issue. There's not a ton of tax, but still, why would you endanger the children? Why bring in these animals? You know. And it gets even more in depth because they even want to go as far as to get into Pleistocene. They want to make a Pleistocene park, right? Which is bringing back extinct species such as predatory animals of prehistoric times. Have you heard about this?
Yeah. No, not really.
They want to bring in prehistoric lions, tigers, cheetahs, and animals that apparently, I guess, used to be here on this country before man existed, so they say. Well, this causes a big problem. Why would you bring in a bunch of predatory animals? What's that going to happen? You know, they're going to kill people. They're going to hunt them down.
They're probably tampering with the, excuse me, go ahead.
The deep ecology movement stated the only hope of the Earth is to withdraw areas as inviolate natural sanctuaries from the depredations of modern industry and technology. Move out the people and the cars, they say. And where they want to move them? In the mass herding of people in the ghettos.
Wow.
Now, what's that? Now, what's going to happen? Have you heard of the Georgia Guidestones, obviously, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
The Georgia Guidestones state that, I believe it says, it's actually in Georgia, it's like this brand new statue they set up a few years back, and no one really knows who set it up, but I pretty much know it was the elite. It's in like five different languages, and basically it says on there that the population of the Earth cannot exceed more than 500 million, and that is their goal.
Wow.
So,
yeah, they want to kill off everybody to get to that number. And that to me shows that they are demon possessed. And they're not only demon possessed, they're totally induced by the demonic world. So you have to want to do that. And he's tricked them to make them believe that the earth needs to, and the earth is more important than humans.
Right. Even one of the scientists stated that the absence of these prehistoric animals, right, has altered the biodiversity of the continent and potentially the evolution of other animals. Now, how hilarious of a comment is that? Because in evolution, isn't it the survival of the fittest, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the whole basic concept? So why would an evolutionist come out and say such a comment like, well, this species didn't, you know, they didn't fit the bill, but let's recreate them. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah. So I think they're just coming out with a bunch of jargon, really, to put into people's heads. And there's a lot of people that believe that crap. You know, they believe that we got to save the planet. And it's really going to be the new religion, I'm pretty sure. It's right along the lines.
Yeah, well, it's one of them. But they have in Revelations 18, 17 and 18, talking about, I think it's a mixture of things like that, the new age movement.
Right, Mother Earth.
Yeah, even to a point where it goes and it narrows down into Matthew chapter 1. I mean, chapter 24, excuse me, where it talks about, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. That is another form. So the New Age movement is going to make a big impact in these last days. But here, this is what I want you to do, bro. I have to do something. I want you to. You have a lot of more material, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, I'm gonna put myself on mute, and I have to do a couple of things. You think you can take it to about 10 minutes?
Yeah, sure. I'll go with it. I appreciate it.
I'm gonna take a commercial break, and then once you hear the commercial stop, then you go ahead. Okay.
You got it.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter, by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb. He's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Hello, it's Phoenix. We're back.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same, because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone.
Hello, we're back. This is Phoenix with Free Your Mind from the Watchman Chronicles Network, and I'm guest hosting on the Prophecy Zone. And we were just speaking about the deep ecology movement and how pretty much it's a movement of the devil. Now, I know we talked about it a couple times before, but I want to really get it into your head, folks, that like the propaganda is really something. It's put in your minds, and it's everywhere, okay? Just like the movie Avatar. All right, look at the movie Avatar. It has ecology and Wicca written all over it, okay? Yes, phenomenal movie, but the propaganda levels in it are unrealistic, okay? The reason why it cost billions of dollars to make was because they wanted to make sure that it fully almost indwelt people with the idea that this is a good idea to save Mother Earth. And in the movie, they literally were bowing down to a tree, an oak tree, if you will, some form of an oak tree, and they were worshiping this tree, trying to transfer souls into other bodies. And the movie was really off the hook, but the whole point was it was all about saving Mother Earth. Okay, one of the key dangers is in the deep ecology's proposal to ghettoize America, is to put people in camps that are scattered across North America, and making most of the land off limits to everyone but the elite, of course. Now, you know, and AKA devil runs the elite, if you ever hear people talk about the elite. This program would basically create enclaves where people would live, supposedly while the rattlesnakes and their friends will roam freely in the rest of the land, untaxed by the cares and worries of fences and other distractions. And the rattlesnakes, basically, that's being spoken of, is speaking of endangered species, because they claim that endangered species, if they're in a certain area, then the wildlife area can't be touched because they have to exist. You know, rattlesnakes aren't good for the planet, okay? They can kill humans, all right? Human life is worth more than a rattlesnake, just so everyone knows. If the deep ecology proposal were followed, the result would be more massive upheaval than any other in the history of mankind. I mean, it would entail the relocation of most of the population in the U.S. into corridors. The ecological movement's new catchphrase, of course, is corridors, and we like to call it the ghetto because that's really what it's going to be, which would be leaving vast tracts of land uninhabited by mankind. Now, this scheme was first presented by Dave Foreman and has since been echoed by many in the deep ecology movement. Now, as the statement I said before was actually by him, the only hope of the Earth is to withdraw huge areas and invalid natural sanctuaries from the deep, from the depredations of modern industry and technology. Move out the people and cars, reclaim the roads and the plowed lands. Totally ridiculous comment, okay? Human life, folks, is precious, all right? We are not equal to animals. And that's what they try to make you believe in this movement. Now, maps detailing how this is all going to work have been carefully drawn out for the U.S., with many in the ecological movement working behind the scenes to bring it about, if not in our lifetime, in the lifetime of our children, definitely. To achieve these ends, there would be a massive takeover of private property, vast reductions of the vast population, through methods that ominously have been made to the public, of course, and herding of human beings in urban areas, a.k.a. ghettos. This effort has become known as the Wildlands Project. There's your name for it, which those supporting contend should set aside approximately 50% of the land in North America. 50% of the land. Okay, that's an unbelievable amount of land. Okay? And just as the Georgia Guidestone stated, you know, they only want 500 million people on the planet. That's 11 out of every 12 people dead. Okay? They don't care about you. They only care if you have a purpose that they need you to fulfill. Okay? The land not inhabited by people would then become a preserve where wildlife would be free to do its thing without human intervention. Okay? Now, Wild Earth magazine devoted an issue to the Wildlands Project in 1992, spelling out what was to be done in this plotting in North American wilderness recovery strategy. Number one is core sections would be created from publicly owned lands, such as natural forests. These would be considered larger than today's federal reserves, covering 100,000 to 25 million acres apiece. I mean, that's an unbelievable amount of area. Buffers would be created by annexing private land adjoining the cores to provide additional protection to the land and its creatures inhabiting it. Buffers may have limited human use provided they are managed with native biodiversity as a preeminent concern, of course, so they barely want anybody to run the place. Corridors would be designated where public and private lands would exist, usually falling along rivers and wildlife migration routes. Urban areas where mankind would be the place of exile for those living in North America. Okay.
Hey, bro.
So what this is...
Hey, bro.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, can I interrupt you right quick? I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was watching a movie. Actually, a documentary I still have, and it was talking about the I don't know if it was based off 2012 or what, but it was actually after Armageddon. Of course, we know how that scenario takes place, but during Armageddon, I'd say a little bit before it, it was talking about survival, how people would survive in those last days on Earth, And when it comes to surviving, you got to feed your family. It's survival of the fittest. And
right.
If you're not prepared to survive, and this is biblical for those who will be here, of course. I mean, I believe that people will be here who are saved. They have to go underground and survive there. And not only that, the people that are not Christians and not having to run from the government, they're going to have to survive totally. So, like I say, it's going to be not only the survival of the fittest that is unsaved, it's going to be the survival of the fittest that are saved. And the Bible
Absolutely.
strictly says that that if a man is running from a bear and runs in the house, put his hands on the wall, and there's a spider to get to try to bite him. I mean, it's going to be like you're running, but you can't hide.
Right.
The big brother's going to get you, or if big brother don't get you, the spies are going to get you, the ones that the big brother's hired to be spies.
Absolutely. And this movement, the reason why I bring all this up with the ecology movement is that it directly goes into the fake global warming hoax as well.
Yeah.
The global warming is nothing but a front for them to deindustrialize the United States, destroy our economy, completely send all the corporations out of the country, therefore destroying the dollar, just so that they can bring in their new world order. Now, how are they controlling global warming is a key issue, okay? That gets into weather warfare. Now, we talked about the HAARP system, right?
Yeah.
The HAARP system, I found out recently, is not just the only system that they use to control the weather. Now, they've actually been seeding clouds for about 70 years, which I thought was pretty amazing. It was about 50 to 70 years, something like that. They can also they also have fog machines that they come in, and they can create fogs of war. But they can see clouds. Anyone can almost rent a plane and go and see the cloud. So when someone says weather manipulation, it's possible, folks. Farmers have been weather manipulating since 30, 40 years. And it's an off-the-shelf product. You can put it on a plane. These flares fly up under the plane, and they seed the clouds with silver iodide, okay? And the silver iodide crystallizes in the cloud and creates rain. The problem with that is it steals rain from the cloud. Hopefully it falls on your crops, right? But that means you're stealing water from other places.
Yeah.
So, and the Bible gets into details and various other apocryphal books, too, as you get in deeper in your research, mention how angels really are sent by God to run these things, right? Like there's an angel for water, an angel for air. And what you're doing is you're trying to play God when you do these things.
Yeah.
And they're way out of line. And so by them thinking that they can go in and control the weather and manipulate things, and then to set off an earthquake like in Haiti, I mean, 200,000 people plus have lost their lives just in that one quake. You know, and what they're doing is they're trying to kill off as many people as possible. I heard that they've been controlling the weather completely for the last 10 years. Completely.
Right. That's fast death. Some of that is fast death, but they also have slow death, which is... you notice nobody has relations over the water coming out of your faucet. But they have regulations for everything else from restaurants. Restaurants can't do this, restaurants can't do that, which is good. But that water is coming out the tap. It's called slow death, because I have a feeling a lot of that stuff, and only God knows, but a lot of, and probably some good researchers, but a lot of that stuff is killing people off, at least taking a good 10 to 15 years off people's lives. And the aspartame and the diet soda. Now,
there's over 260 chemicals in your tap water, okay?
Yeah,
and that includes bleach, fluoride, mercury, I believe formaldehyde, and various other ingredients.
Yes, indeed. Well, I saw your email, and you was talking about you wanted to do a two-hour show. I would love to do that. In the not so distant future, I'm sort of starting to get more and more guests.
I saw that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if you know Anthony J. Hilder or Ralph Apperson, or you know, I got Rapture Ready coming on this Sunday, and also Raider. Yeah, Raider. Hopefully, I can get them on, and then on my national. I'm working on Dr. Jack Lamb, McLamb.
Okay.
He's supposed to be coming on. A lot of very famous people are coming on, but I'm also looking for people who are not so famous. Freedom and Liberty show. He has a commercial online I forgot what they're called. It's where that you make a you bring up something that's a problem and you draw a solution for it. Online
that's definitely
solutions.
Not me.
Yeah, onlinesolutions.com. I talked to them today, and I'd love to get them on because with all of this said that we are saying, it's good to have a solution that follows. Now, some of the stuff that we have on this program and a lot of them on Blog Talk Radio, we come up with a solution. Now, sometimes the only solution is Jesus Christ, and most of the time. But also God has given us things down here, including money, as a tool to make things better. Even the Bible says that someone with money solves a lot of problems, but it also says the love of money is the root of all evil. So that is true. But
I could probably do a 2-hour show. Hopefully, if you want to schedule in like next week, next Thursday or something.
Yeah. Well, just let me know because I don't have any guests for next week. I don't think. The fourth thing, I have two guests. And then I think Ralph Epperson is coming on Sunday, I think. I've got everything mixed up. So if I mess up, just forgive me. But so probably Thursday or Sunday, that'd be awesome.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah,
I just wanted to break down this parable real quick before we go, too, if that's okay.
Okay.
Go ahead. I think God's really laid it on my heart, and I just want to let everyone know this parable right here is the reason why I'm here on this show. Okay, it's a little more than a paragraph, so bear with me, and then I'll break it down.
Okay.
For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. And the one who gave 5 talents to another 2 and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants comes and reckons with him. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, there you have what is yours. His Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you know that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not scattered seed. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. For to every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which is his. And cast you the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now I believe personally that this parable is not talking about money, folks. Most people think it's talking about money. I believe it's talking about souls. Now, the first servant was given 5 souls, but you know what? Every man's given, just like he said, to his several abilities, okay? So he went out, and he preached the gospel, and he got 5 more souls, okay? The same with the second guy. The third guy had a chance to save his another soul, but instead, he went and hid his and protected his own soul and didn't spread the gospel, right? So then, when the Lord came back, he realized that, oh, you evil and unfaithful servant. You knew the gospel, but you didn't share it with anybody. So just bind them up, cast them in outer darkness. They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I personally know the gospel, Phil. And I've been set aside to be a watchman, among other things. And the Lord said that I have to go out, and whether the people want to accept my package, I still have to drop it off. So that's my job, to win as many souls as possible, and I appreciate you having me on your show.
Oh, no problem, man, no problem. And like I said, I'll be getting in touch with you. I'm going to start sending out emails, kind of pretty impressive emails, and I'll be keeping in touch with you, just keeping abreast of what's going on. And I'm going to call it pretty much Thursday or Sunday, or if not the following Thursday, because I'm going to start doing my one station here in Spokane, and then probably Eastern Washington after that. But I don't think I'll talk like this, though. I got a big mouth, so I just kind of conceal it here. But God bless you, man.
God bless you, sir.
You
I look forward to
night.
Your email, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good night.
All right. God bless.
That was a wonderful interview with Phoenix from the Watchmen Chronicles. Awesome guy in the Lord. We are living in the last days, and that is completely not scare tactics. We don't use scare tactics to get people saved. We don't even use scare tactics to get people to realize that their freedoms are being taken. But it's truth tactics. People think, oh, you're telling people the sky is falling. Well, if we keep it up, it might just fall. We're not alarmists. We are watchmen. There are different types of watchmen that want to bring truth. If somebody told you that you're smoking too much, you need to stop. You're going to get mad at them, but you need to stop. Eventually, if you're drinking, like I used to do, somebody told me I need to stop drinking. By the grace of God, I stopped drinking. But there's a lot of people out there who don't have the grace of God and still stop drinking. But we need to open our eyes and get ready. Because some things are going to take place, and I'm not going to be telling you when. I mean, I don't know. I just look at the signs. I know the rubber band, if you pull a rubber band tight enough and somebody keeps telling you to keep pulling, sooner or later it's going to pop. And our time that we have in here, freedom, I mean, is leaving. I mean, now they're trying to get, and they use every excuse, any incident to try to change laws and regulations and bring new things in. For instance, those scanners at the airport. They can see your rear end. And now they send in emails to each other so you can laugh at people and see somebody else's behind parts. And then that's even disgraced from American to American. And I'm not surprised that, and the Bible says that there'll be brother against, there'll be father against son, mother against daughter. Brother against sister, you know, it talks about that. And I'm pretty sure a neighbor is going to be against neighbor because it's complete opposite of what God wants us to have. So we're going to take another break, and we're going to bring on Rick from Freedom and Liberty Show. His name is Rick Perlstein, very articulate young man. We're going to be talking about various current events that has been going on. And I want him to articulate what he feels is going on in the world today. So I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, on Blog Talk Radio as we discuss end-time events, the mind of Jesus Christ's second coming, earthquakes, pestilence, the mark of the beast technology, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the dividing of Jerusalem, and much more. Join us for our action-packed information that will keep you informed so you can be ready for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, join us on Blog Talk Radio.
in satisfaction of what is called
Okay, I'm back. I think I played that commercial like 100 times today, and I know something, a lot of distractions. I'm having a lot of distractions today as far as the show is concerned. Sometimes you get those days, actually all the time I get those days. Every time I get ready to do a show, If I'm gonna ever get these babies revved up, I got a one almost 2 year old, and I got a newborn, 2 months. And if I'm ever gonna get anybody revved up, it's when I'm gonna throw a show. And if you can tell I'm kind of revved up because I keep pushing the same button over again for some reason. That's like the third time I played this commercial. So just please bear with me. But once again, we're gonna have standing by for our next guest is from Freedom and Liberty Show, Rick Perlstein from Blog Talk Radio. I listen to a few of his shows and I love it. I like his shows. We also at the bottom, hopefully, we're gonna get the Ministry of Shock It Now. And they're going to be joining us as well. So without further ado, let's bring on our guest. Hello, Rick.
Hey, how's it going, man? Appreciate you having me on.
No problem, man. Looking forward to having you on. Tell me, I looked on your page and I wanted to hear what your take on the 9/11 commission.
What my take on the 9/11 commission? Well, I guess to put it in a nutshell, if there is a conspiracy theory concerning 9/11, the 9/11 commission report is it's written form. There's so much conflict and misdirection and disinformation mixed in with just enough element of truth to make people double guess. But bottom line is the 9/11 Commission did not fulfill its charter. It did not explain anything. It neglected and ignored basic aspects to investigation. And then told us, well, it's not important. For instance, one of the big things in any crime scene, especially when you're dealing on something on such a massive scale, is you look for the money. You follow the money. Would you agree, Bill, that that's normally normal investigative tool? Well, the 9/11 Commission decided that wasn't all important. As a matter of fact, let me run to my website right here and pull up the exact quote from it. It just amazed me the first time I read it, and when you read the 9/11 Commission report, it pretty much reads like a comic book in a lot of ways. But but for instance, on page 172, they say that they have no clue where the money came from to finance the biggest attack on American soil since the Civil War, and well, you know, the event in history that has changed the course of history for the entire planet, much less the United States. And so their thoughts on where the money came to finance this was, ultimately the question is of little practical significance. So if they're not even going for basic investigation tools, what's the rest of the report like, you think?
Wow. Well, they don't want to... They wanted to sort of lollipop it, and they didn't want to see what they could see very easily. For instance, the black boxes, first crime scene witnesses, the fire station, the guys at the fire station. What did you see? What did you hear? They don't want to hear that stuff. They don't want to hear, oh, I heard loud bangs way up in the buildings, you know, boom, 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 boom. I mean, they don't want to hear that. They just want to hear, you know, because if you look at the whole premise of this 9/11, I'm just going to go ahead and call it crap. And forgive me, God, for this, but it's crap. If you look at the whole thing, and you really, really just simply look, it's like the Federal Reserve. Somebody walk up to you and say the Federal Reserve is not federal. I think you should, like, pee on yourself. But that's not how people do. You know, that's not people. So when you walk up to them and say, how in the world can for a couple of hijackers take what they call those box cutters?
Box cutters,
and take over a plane and overpower all those guys. I'm pretty sure there had to be a few big dudes on that plane, on the plane. And then here's another thing, brother, Rick. When a plane is in the air, these jets, they fly at supersonic speed. So you're going to tell me four planes out of course cannot be caught and brought back down or shot out of the air? You do the mathematics. Now, 3,000 people, if we knew it was 3,000 people versus 200 people, 3,000 people versus 200 people, 3,000 people versus 200 people, which way, what did I do? Shoot, file. You take the 200 people out. And I'm not
here's the thing. I think I understand what you're getting at, and I'll agree. But you know, jet planes don't fly at supersonic speeds. They're just not capable of it. But the bottom line is that there was a whole lot going on. Our military at the time was in the middle of war games, which, by the way, just happened to mimic what was going on at the time. But regardless of that, to have four planes and 19 hijackers to do this kind of damage and be these, you know, cave dwellers that basically that's where Bin Laden was, right? But to have them pull off this kind of thing, no, I ain't buying it. Our military was way too good. Now, debunkers will tell you about the interception. You know, between the first plane that hit and the Pentagon plane, there was a full hour and a half there. And what, we couldn't send planes out to intercept any of them? Now, debunkers will tell you that, you know, well, they turned off the transponders, so there's no way to be able to see them. I understand that. But still, when you know that the country is under attack, isn't it not SOP to get some birds up, at least in Washington, D.C., to protect the capital of the United States? Now, I don't know that it's not. I don't know that it is. But that sounds like a pretty reasonable plan to me, you know. And then they also say that we only had 13 birds covering the entire United States at the time. Wait a minute. We're still, things are tense geopolitically even before 9/11, and we only have 13 birds defending the entire country. Isn't that a problem in and of itself? But the fact that we
definitely
could not intercept these guys is either A, our military is more incompetent than we are led to believe, the system is incompetent, or a lot of people acted incompetently on that day.
Well, if you look at the coast, even on Michael Moore, I don't really dig him too much, but even on his, I think it was him, one of his videos, the coast is left without a guard, especially on the Pacific, where I'm at, in the Pacific Northwest. And sometimes I find it that's purposely done for some reason. But anybody, to me, I mean, if God ordained, has not caused us to be invaded yet. But I don't see anything separating us besides radars catching whoever's coming up. You know, but and then to make the long story short, with those airplanes being out of range or out of radar or all this other stuff, I just don't believe it. I mean, now when I meant supersonic speed, I was just trying to be, you know, funny. But
okay.
those planes do fly pretty darn quick.
They're fast. It was like 500 miles an hour, I want to say, when it hit the building.
Yeah, to me, it's supersonic because I'm a big dude. So when it takes me a while to get upstairs to go to my classroom. So they can, as fast as it takes me to get upstairs to go to my classroom, they can have already took one of those planes out. So no, I'm not telling, you know, I'm trying to be funny or nothing, but the commission was, and did I read it? No, I actually read pieces of it. But I wanted to just throw up. I mean, it's almost like me chopping. Go ahead.
I was going to say another strange thing about the commission report itself. It is the development and the creation of the commission. Now, yeah. You know, we had September 11th. On 26 October, a month and a half, is when the Patriot Act was signed. And now this is the act that, of course, took away pretty much the majority of the Bill of Rights away from the American people. And then, you know, so in between that time, of course, the NIST also did an investigation, but it wasn't a full year, or I'm sorry, it was over a full year before we commissioned an investigation into 9/11. And again, the most heinous act of terror ever committed on United States soil, you would think that, like the Warren Commission that investigated the assassination of JFK, that was ordered on 29 November 1963, 1 week after the president was murdered. After Pearl Harbor, the Roberts Commission, enacted by executive order on 18 December 1941, 11 days after the attack. The 9/11 Commission, unlike previous commissions, was not ordered by executive order. It was enacted by congressional order as Title IV of what became Public Law 107-306. It was an appropriations bill, man, one of a bunch in that year. So it took them over a year to investigate, again, what changed the course of human history on this planet? Whoa, come on, man. You know, we strip the American people of their rights, but we don't even do a full investigation yet. We have engineers at the NIST doing their investigation, and I'm sure the FBI did a little bit of work too, as well as the other so-called intelligence agencies. But unlike every other major event like this, we don't have a full commission until, you know, a year and some months afterwards. That just completely.
Yeah, I wish the Nobel Committee would have waited a year to give President Obama his Nobel Peace Prize instead of doing it before he's been elected. Goodness gracious.
Dude, I want to steal that line. That was good.
Jeez. Okay, yeah, man. That is a big deal. The Patriot Act was written the same day as we saw the when they showed previous tapes on the 19 hijackers at a club that night, and then for some strange reason they knew exactly who did it, and then they knew exactly Osama bin Laden. They had his face all plastered on the screen, and I was in New Louisiana that time on a Marshall compound because we were putting in some rappel towers. So I was on a deployment, and I looked at the screen, and I was like, "Yeah, okay." I mean, you still felt remorse for the people who died in the building, and you still felt sad for them. But at the same time, you're like, "Yeah, right." I mean, because I've already been studying this stuff before, and I'm like, "Dude, this is just too corny." Because I'm still looking at it's sort of like the Kennedy films. When you look at the Kennedy films, because the first time I saw it was back in the 80s, because I don't know if I saw the true films, but I saw him go back. As the bullet hitting, he went back.
Yeah.
And then forward. So it's the same thing as looking to me. That's the same thing to today, looking at the towers. And I'm asking myself, isn't that okay? If I was just an ordinary American who don't know anything, and I look at the TV screen, it should cost a lot of people. And maybe I'm just stupid now, but it should cost a lot of people to say to themselves, self, didn't that plane hit too far up to have relation to the bottom? I mean, if you really think about it, only a fool, and I'm sorry, the Bible tells me not to call him a fool, but only somebody who does not want to see it, because we get caught up in the moment and all the flags on the cars and everybody's doing it type of moment.
Right.
You know, the everybody's doing it type of moment. It's hard to shake.
Sure.
And if everybody's sad, you're not going to, I mean, the first thing I do, okay, if a man and a wife lose a son, the first thing they're going to, she's going to be crying, he's going to be crying, but they're going to ask, who did it? Who did it to my daughter? Who did it to my son? Who did this? And they're going to want a quick investigation. Give me the investigation. I want to know now. You know, anger, crying, remorse. But on 9/11, everybody's like, the media went in. I mean, they did an excellent job. All things, all truth go away in about a day. So if you can, they interrupt the program to bring your further announcement in the next couple of weeks or months or a year, and you sit there for about 3 or 4 hours, you might get all truth. And after that, it goes out the window. So if you get a tape recorder, because that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna set my DVR, and I'm not. It's not like I'm looking for something to happen, but when it does, and if I'm at home, I am gonna either call my wife or call my kids and tape it, because I want to sit down there and watch the first. Forget all the rest of it. I want to watch the first good seven hours of it. And all truth will be there, and then all truth will disappear. They even show you things like Tower 7 collapsing, and there was no one hitting. And even Dan Rather, there's no one. What happened? Well, they just, and they know later on that David Silverstein, whatever his name is,
Silverstein
said that we decided to pull it. We decided to pull it. So you that fast, you put all of those bombs in that building that quick. I was a cop engineer in the Army, and I specialized. Half of my job was to put in dynamite and explosives. And it took us a while. Even our instructors, when we were in class, it took them a while just to blow a circle about, 20 feet in radius? It took them a long time. So imagine if you're going to put those bombs in the building the same day, it'd take you at least a week to figure out how not to make that building fall on the other buildings to damage it. Actually,
well,
take a month or two.
The previous 2 weeks prior to 9/11, there were security issues in both Tower 1 and Tower 2. There were entire floors that have been reported to have been closed off, that the other occupants of the building, et cetera, were not allowed to get off on. They were locked off in the elevator and off the stairway. So there is evidence to suggest that the buildings were rigged a couple of weeks prior to. And who was in charge of security, by the way, of the World Trade Center complex? Well,
wasn't
part of the
George
Bush family,
Bush?
As a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But now, you know, I don't want to go way off the deep end, because I don't know that the government was in, you know, did they actually perpetrated it. And I don't know that they had any information. But there's a whole lot of questions that the 9/11 Commission report asked that were A, never answered, or B, had conflicting answers, or C, were just outright lied about. So, you know, we have to have an investigation into this, and we got to hold the truth. Now, of course, for national security reasons, they're not going to be able to tell us everything. I'm former military. I understand that. But at least have it make sense to me. You know, don't tell me 19 guys just walked into my country and were able to change everything the way they have, and our military did nothing about it. Come on, man, that just doesn't fly. I personally was too well trained, so I know the guys who are in charge of this stuff also were too well trained to let this happen. So
exactly.
I don't know. Part of the one of the things the 9/11 Commission report left out was the testimony of of the transportation Secretary of Transportation Norman Mineta, who had mentioned that he was in the presidential bunker at the time, and that the vice president was there and issuing orders. So, and that whole testimony about a plane being tracked and that the orders stood on, no one asked what the orders were. No one asked, hey, why does this conflict? They all said, oh, Norman's a dope. He just is mistaken about that. Don't worry about it. Come on. Yeah. There's too many loose strings.
Yes, exactly. Nation is one of the greatest nations to ever exist because of the freedoms that it applied to its people constitutionally. And I happen to disagree with a lot of the people, at least who say that this country is no longer, or actually, let me take that back. I happen to disagree with the people who don't take the Constitution for what it's worth. And the person in the chat room was talking about the Patriot Act. I read most of it. I did not read the commission report, but I've read that in time. Over the course of a while, I've read the Patriot Act, and I don't know about for verbatim because I have a bad memory.
But wasn't it a scary document? Isn't it a scary document? It's up for a revote now, as a matter of fact, certain aspects of it. And, some folks say, well, it's because of the Patriot Act that, our country's been safe all these years. Well, I'm sorry. Take away our rights. That does not make us safer. Quite the contrary. And so far, every single attempted attack that we've had since then, at least the ones that we know about, they've been stopped by the American people, not by the FBI or the CIA or other intelligence agencies. I'm just talking the ones that we know about. Now, I'm certain behind the scenes that they've, busted up some terrorist rings and stuff like that. And we've heard about a few of those on the news as well. But the big attacks, they've been taken care of by the American people. The Patriot Act has not made us safer. The Patriot Act has, in essence, let the terrorists win. If you take away our freedom and our liberties, isn't that exactly what they've been telling us anyway, that the terrorists have been trying to do? That's why they attacked us, because of our diversity, because of our freedom? You can't have it both ways.
Yes, exactly. Our freedom is very important right now, and a lot of people are not going to get the chance. Because we just had Thanksgiving, and I don't even know if people – I know people are thankful, but I don't think we grasp the fact of being thankful to God and to country and to military and to – family members, even decent citizens who keep the law, but mostly thankful to God, but thankful to people who are the ones who written the Constitution, that a lot of people evidently think it's out of date. The Constitution is in the First Amendment, we have the right to serve our God that we want to serve,
freedom of religion,
freedom of religion, and that's that. I mean, a lot of people don't realize it. Got a lot of gullible Christians who love George Bush, and you got another set of gullible Christians who love Barack Obama, and Barack Obama, and to me, George Bush is the same people. But the only thing is they get to places different. If I take a plane and you take a train and we leave Toronto, we leave Vancouver, Canada, and we go down to Miami, one of us is going to get there faster. Well, we still got abortion. We still get our freedom taken. We still have war. We still got basically everything. Matter of fact, President Obama is beating out President Bush and spending money. So I believe that God has preserved this nation. For, we have been great, a great, great nation. And I have no, I have to give some form of solutions. And the first solution I would give is Jesus Christ. The other solutions is, and I know people are going to get mad at me when I say this, and it seems simple, but you don't spend the more money. You save. As a country, you save. There's things you can do right now to soften the blow, let the air out, so slowly let it collapse, because the derivatives markets is a dangerous machine. And nobody knows about the derivatives markets, not even the common man. Now, they stick some 2020 shows on there about the derivative markets, but these derivative markets are calculated by, crunched by computers. And they're based off of, if John goes left and Peter goes right, of course I'm being funny, they're based off of the rain, if it rains and the price of wheat goes down and this and that, or if it's based off of if General Motors go here and something else go there, then the markets are go up or down. So that's a dangerous thing. But getting back to the Patriot Act, a lot of people don't realize that the Patriot Act is, believe it or not, eventually it's going to cost money. A lot of the legislation that we have that eventually will cost the American people money. If you're not wiretapping somebody, you have to build a bigger organization than the one you have. If the Patriot Act asks you to go in and do this to the airports, I mean, subheading number 55, or just making up stuff, going to the, you know, let's put elect machines where we can see people's bodies naked and see whatever they have. So this machine is going to cost us thousands and billions of dollars. I mean, people don't realize that a lot of this legislation is just boggling us down.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, and it's not stimulating anything. It's not incentivizing anything. We've been talking a lot about this on the Freedom and Liberty Show. You know, as a matter of fact, this morning we talked about the Great Depression of 1920. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, then you're one of the few, because it's not...
1920?
1920, not the Great Depression of 1929, which is what everybody thinks about when they hear the Great Depression. I'm talking about 1920.
No, go ahead, tell me about it.
You didn't hear about that. Well, we had a lot of the same hoo-hoos back then. As a matter of fact, things were a lot worse than they are right now. And the government decided to do two things and two things only. They slashed spending in half, and they also cut taxes in half. And
wow.
Lo and behold, what happened? The Great Depression of 1920 only lasted a year, about 18 months, as a matter of fact. Whereas we hit the Great Depression of 29, the government gets in there and does all kinds of programs and spending and all that, and the depression lasts for a decade. What are we going to do now? It seems like our president has not learned from history and is going to go the way of Roosevelt rather than, you know, now. So rather than 1920s lessons. That's sad.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We have to, that's why we have to make the president accountable. And even every administration, the last two administrations, they have had a talent, especially what you said earlier about the Vice President Cheney. They have a talent of trying to make everybody else wrong and make themselves right, even when they're totally wrong. And I think what they do is they double speak each other, and they convince each other that we're right and everybody else is wrong. And that's a danger, because the checks and balances have left. There are no checks and balances when we cannot oppose. Even Christians should be able to oppose. Now preachers have got it so we can't oppose certain things. Now, the Bible says do not turn against your government. It didn't say we cannot oppose it or we cannot. In that case, then all the prophets would have to sit down. Moses, all of those guys would have to sit down because a lot of the Christians don't have a backbone to say what is going on. They don't know right from wrong anymore. And the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So if the Christians are sitting down and the patriots are picking up the tab, the true patriots, the ones who run, not even the Tea Party. Now the Tea Party thing is delusional. You don't know who's the true Tea Party. You don't know who's the true. You don't even know anything. You don't know if somebody's in it for profit. I mean, you think it would affect the church already for profit. Now it's affecting the truth movement. So we have to draw a line. What is truth? You know, like you can't handle the truth. Well, you need to find out what the truth is because the truth will set us free. And I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but it is true. God has held this country strong for a long time. Our economy has been strong for a while, and it's been inflated to be, and I don't mean inflation, I mean inflated as far as we have what is called a economy that since 1913 has been running on balloonage or air. I mean, to me it has, but it's been strong because they have been able to blow the balloon up big. You know, it's like, look at me, you know, I have a giant balloon, hot air balloon, but it's going to blow up pretty soon. It's going to bust. Well, it still looks nice, doesn't it? Until you get down to the point where it's going to blow up and it blows up and kills everybody in town. But we're headed for, we're close to a complete collapse of the markets. Let me stop right here. I want to talk to the people in the chat room for a second. I apologize to some people in the chat room because I, after 2 days of my last radio program, after these people had called in to the radio program and also in the chat room, just disgusting stuff was said. I want an easy flow in my chat room, and I do. I don't mind any opposition, or I don't mind any. But when you get too much of it, I'm going to shut you down. I mean, what I mean by that is because I want a harmony. I want a little bit of this and a little bit of that, even if it's a little bit of opposition, even some opposition. But after a while, I'm going to shut you down, and I don't even see the person I shut down. And that's the beauty of this thing is you can actually mute them so you can't see them. And it's not that I don't like opposition. That's fine. But this person, individual, just is negative after negative after negative. Now I know how Val felt when I had said a couple of things in her chat room. And now I've learned my own lesson. I did that like 6 months ago. And I'm like, I see what she means now. She didn't say nothing, but I can tell she was kind of ticked off at me because I just kept coming and coming and coming in the chat room. And I don't think we should do that. I was in the chat room 2 days ago, and she probably like, what happened to him? he's nice. But I just apologize to the individual that I muted. I just think it's too I don't want 100% negativism. I mean, just keep going, even if it's to defend the word. I mean, I have guests on here, and I apologize to you, Rick. I have guests on here that may not – it's not going to be always, you know, talking about Christianity. There's going to be some guest on here that's trying to prove a point that's in the Bible that after they get off, I will address. And I'm taking up his time, and I apologize for that. But
don't sweat the gentleman who you're referencing here, man. He's a regular listener to my show as well, and we have a regular back and forth. So. You know, it's all good. He's a buddy of mine and a regular listener. So this is just you know, we're continuing on your show. I guess we should apologize to you, man.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, I apologize to him definitely. I guess it's something I'm going to learn again because I keep learning stuff. And don't never mute somebody. I mean, it's opposite. You know what I'm kind of afraid of? I'm thinking to this individual, I think I'm afraid of the same thing that happened on the show a couple of days ago was just uncalled for. Okay. But anyway, brother, I so much appreciate your time. I know you got to get going because you got a lot of things you got to take care of. And that's understandable. You and state you in?
And I'm residing in Texas right now, as a matter of fact. Although in a couple of years I'll be headed up to New Hampshire.
Oh yeah. Oh okay. All right. Okay. So you good for another 15 minutes?
I'm good for as long as you need me, man. I'm just going to go play D&D online, man.
Well, my next guest is coming on. Hopefully he calls in. If you're out there, please call in so we can get you on. And like I say, we'll have you back pretty much in the near future. I have to make a schedule for Blog Talk because I got a few people that they're gonna come on, but yeah, I'm not the type of person who really don't care about opposition. I mean, it's just the fact that I'm trying to get a flow. I want a flow in my chat room, sort of people. And I guess if you get one person going, and if somebody comes in the chat room and start reading the chat, they're gonna pop back off again. Because I've already had that happen just tonight. So anyway, what are you going to be doing in the future with your ministry?
Well, I don't have a ministry, man. As a matter of fact, I was really surprised to get your invitation to come on because I'm not even a Christian. We're going to be talking about, I guess my ministry, to use it the term in a generic sense, is individual freedom and liberty. People have gotten so brainwashed that we are so desperately dependent upon the government that our lives would be so much different and so much worse if we didn't have this great, gigantic, tyranny, corrupt government that we have. And that's just not true. I'm trying to get people to have more faith in themselves, in their own decisions, in that love of freedom and liberty that God, by whatever name you call him, has given to us just because we're born. And that used to be the way things are in this country. We were the first country on the planet to codify them in our laws, the first country in history. And we've somehow gotten away from that, and I want to take us back because I think there is the true evolution of humanity, and that is to be personally responsible, to be a producer rather than a consumer, and to live free and to live your life as you so will. And the Bill of Rights and the Constitution was a great first step along that line. And look what it created, the greatest country on the planet. And so my ministry is to get people back into that mindset of independence, of helping your neighbor and helping yourself, and being a good patriot to the country and holding our government accountable for the actions that it takes, especially the crimes.
Yes, exactly. We have to hold our government accountable. That's number one issue, man. Can't say no more about that. But we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans.
This is David Robertson inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does. And
warning, America. Warning, America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay, I don't know if anybody can hear me out there. I just got booted off my switchboard. So if
we'd still be streaming.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. All right, man. Well, thank you very much for being on the show, man.
Hey, anytime, brother. And I appreciate you listening to my show as well. And you're welcome to give us a holler anytime.
Okay, God bless, man. You have a wonderful day, man.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, that was a wonderful interview by Rick Perlstein. I'd like to thank him for coming on the show. And we are going to be expecting a guest to call in. I think he was somewhere in the chat room. I hope he calls in. Okay, so what we are going to be doing in the future, this radio program on Blog Talk Radio, is possibly sometime we're going to take out the chat room, and then some days we're going to leave it on. Last time we had a lot of people in it. This time we have not, because I started in the morning inviting people to the show, and it was just awesome how many people we had. We have 55 people at the same time. It's probably, if I did it right, I'd probably get hundreds of people at the same time, just by starting off on Monday and trying to remind people earlier that they should be joining us for the radio program, but I don't know what happened on this. I don't know what happened to boot me off, but I'm waiting for my next guest to come on, and that is that. Okay. I would love to have Matrix Radio call in if you can, man. If he's still out there, call in. Because I don't know if my guest is going to show up, man. I am going to be ending the show at the normal time. If not, because I extended it. It's supposed to be off at 9, I think. Yeah, 9 o'clock. So if you can, just go ahead and call in. And once again, I apologize for the chat room earlier. But I'm not going to promise that it's not going to happen again, because I'm trying to get an even flow in the chat room and nice flow. Okay, but God be with everybody out there. There is coming a day in the not-too-distant future where all things will not be the same. You know, and they say, well, there's a specific day. Well, yeah, one day is going to be a time where God will intervene back in history. But as we watch Iran, and Iran is playing a pivotal part in this end time scenario, we have to look at a possible war that will happen between Israel and its neighbors, and that is Syria, and of course Hezbollah and Lebanon. And if you look at the nuclear program that Iran is having and the rest of the world body is objecting to, it looks kind of familiar. It looks like Iran all over Iraq all over again. So we have to keep our eyes on this, these things that will happen in the end times. But I'm going to read a little bit of Ezekiel 38, and it starts off on verse 4. And I would turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth. Now, who is he talking to? If you go back, he's talking to Gog. And Gog is the leader of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Now, Meshach and Tubal is the cities that Gog is in charge of. Now, if you're familiar with this, a lot of even Josephus have pointed out that Magog was the ancient land that covers Russia, the current Russia right now. And it would also say that Meshach represents Moscow and Tubal represents Tubalinx. And it says, verse 3, it says, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O God, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. So Gog is the leader. Now, who do people say that this person is? Is it an actual man? Yes, it is an actual man, but it's also an actual spirit, because this same person shows up at the end of the millennium, period. It says, and once again, I'll put hooks in their jaws. Now, what are the hooks? I believe Isaiah 17 has to do with some of the hooks. It says hooks with the F. Or there are other reasons why Russia is coming down to invade Israel. Now, if you go to verse 5, it talks about Persia, which is modern-day Iran, Ethiopia, which is Northern Africa, Libya, which is Libya with them,
all of them with shields and helmets. Gomer and all of his bands, the House of Turgomer of the North Quarters, and all his bands, and many people with you. So that is basically the Russians. And I'm sorry I keep pausing because I'm looking for my caller to come in, and it's just like I'm pausing, looking back and forth. But this war is going to take place in a not-too-distant future. He says, well, you know, you're trying to predict it. No, I'm not trying to predict it, but it's obvious that Israel's not going to hold up. Now, is it this time that these things are going to happen? We don't know. Nobody knows. But I have a good feeling that, and a lot of people have had good feelings in the past, but I have a feeling that these things will start to take place soon. And a lot of people don't want to really hear that because they're too busy watching Super Bowls and having Super Bowl parties and not caring about what is actually going on in the world. And it says, at the many days, in verse 8, at the many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter days thou shalt come unto the land that is brought back from the sword. And Israel has been brought back, and the word of God says, and a nation should be born in a day, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, or always waste. And it looks like Israel will be at rest in their land. Now, are they going to be? If you go down to verse 11, it says, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwarred villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely. Now, why didn't they use the word peace instead of they use the word rest? Now, would you say that Israel's current state is at rest and at peace? Yeah, right about now, that's what's going on. Israel is at rest, and they are also at in safety. I'm sorry, I say peace. I mean safety. So the word peace is missing here. All of them dwelling with walls and having neither bars nor gates to take a spoil. So the attack comes to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn their hand upon the desolate places. Now, let's go to verse 13, Sheba and Dedan. Who is that? Well, a lot of writers have put that as Saudi Arabia. And the merchants of Tarshish, who is that? Some people have said it was Spain. Some people have said it was Britain. With all the lions, the young lions. So if it's Britain, it fits perfectly. The young lions. Now, back in the ancient days, Spain used to be a great exporter, a great commerce area, and also Britain. So I'm dealing with Britain instead of Spain. But the Cubs, of course, the United States came from that area. The United States sort of came from Spain, but you have to go through a lot of channels to get there and jump through a whole bunch of hoops. But it works for Britain. It says, with the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take great spoil? Now, it sounds like to me that they're making a gripe to the United Nations. Now, just me saying this, but it sounds like, to my interpretation, that's what's going on at this point. Therefore, son of man, prophesy unto and say unto God, thus says the Lord God, and that day when my people of Israel dwell in. So if anybody has any opposition to the fact that he's talking to Israel. Here you go. It says, "When my people of Israel dwell safely, shalt thou not know it?" Now, they're not dwelling peacefully. Why is that? Maybe they didn't have a peace agreement, or maybe the peace agreement was signed by Obama or some other entity, and it didn't hold up. But the Bible says in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, that the Antichrist shall confirm a covenant. So the covenant ought to exist. And the Bible says in Thessalonians, when they say peace and safety, now the safety is here, but the peace is missing. So what does that tell you? Could you set this outside the tribulation period? Because the Antichrist, in order for the tribulation period to start, he must promise to protect Israel. So at that point, they're peace, they're living peace and safely. It says, and a lot of our legislation, a lot of our paperwork, so to speak, and the channels of politics, and especially foreign affairs, have talked about peace and safety. If you see a lot of magazines, especially foreign affair magazine, they're talking about peace and safety. The word peace and safety is all over the place. And that is amazing to me, because the Bible has prophesied these things a long time ago. Now, in this chapter, let's go on a little bit longer because we got about a couple more minutes. Maybe he got the times mixed up. We got to go ahead and end the show a little bit earlier. So in 8 minutes, we're just going to go ahead and wrap it up. Unless he comes in right quick, I'm going to probably be, I may take a couple of weeks, about a week off here, to take another, pray about it and take another focus on what I'm doing, because it's very important that we get the word out, but a lot of times we got so many distractions. And I think a lot of people want to see a chat room up. I want to see a chat room up, but a lot of people want to see a chat room up, but they're not actually getting it. Now, you can tell that a lot of people were in the chat room, and then there's nobody here now. So I was waiting for my guest, but I don't know what happened. I think they might have had a kind of a time conflict or something. I don't know. I might even saw him, I don't understand what was going on. 8:45, area code 909 supposed to have showed up, but I didn't see him, so that's fine with me. We're gonna take a little break, and we'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed 4 major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armament industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
Okay, that was Dwight Eisenhower. I'd like to say to y'all out there, God bless everybody out there. I'm going to go ahead and end the show early. There is a lot of things that I'm going to be focusing on as far as this chat room is concerned, because I'm thinking it's very productive, but at the same time, it can be a nuisance because you have to keep your eye on it. I'd rather just do my thing and interview. Actually, hold on for a second. I see my guest. Hold on for a second. Hold on for a second, everybody. I'm not going to actually go off yet. Bring him on right now. Hey, how you doing, brother?
Hey, how you doing, brother? I got caught up in traffic, but this is Sean.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you called.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I always wanted to be on your show, and I know we've been emailing each other back and forth. So I just got in right now.
Yeah.
You know, they were saying on the news that, I don't know if you saw this, that they were saying Iran's, you know, they're going to make some stunning statements of us, you know, on the 11th.
Uh-huh.
And today's the 11th, so I was like, wonder what they're going to say, and they said they're officially nuclear.
That's what it was, huh? Because I saw that when I went upstairs, I was doing my show, the brother Phoenix was talking. I let him go ahead and talk because I had to go upstairs and do something. And Shirley Beard was on the TV screen, and I wasn't kind of paying attention to it, but I sort of subliminally kind of came down here because I was busy. And Shirley, yeah, you're right. You're right, brother. Wow.
We had a pastor on our show, and he is, I think he's Jewish, but then he does believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So, you know, he's always, yeah, you know, I'm a Christian just as much as you are, but, you know, there's a lot of people that become Christian. And he was saying, I asked him, I said, you know, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think that Israel's going to attack now? You know, what do you... And he said 100%, he goes, I'm not prophesying or anything. He goes, it's just like a prediction. He goes, 100%, I think that's what's going to happen. Well, you know, there was a man that came to my parents' church that knows one of the generals in the Israeli army.
Wow.
And they said within another 4 or 5 months, and the guy... his name eludes me for a moment, but he's an author also and a pastor. He writes a lot about prophecy, you know, revelation and stuff. And he said that he talked to a general in the Israeli army, and they said this was before they started moving missiles and everything into the Persian Gulf, which they did. So I do believe this is true, because he said, watch, the U.S. is going to move, you know, like a, you know, missile defense into the Persian Gulf, which the Obama administration did do that, and they told us that before he even did it. So I do believe it to be true. But you know what was interesting is this pastor that I was talking to. He goes to Israel and he knows the Israeli people. He goes, they don't really have the mindset that we do here in the West.
Yeah.
He goes, out there it's like eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. He goes. He was talking about how when the first George Bush went into Iraq and they kind of stopped there at Baghdad and they didn't go in. He goes, because, you know, we're mostly a Christian country and we're taught to, you know, turn the other cheek. He goes, but that's not how Israel's going to be. He goes, if they attack the Iran's nuclear facilities. And I asked him, I said, what do you think the chances are? He said, 100% they're going to do it. So, I mean, this could be it. He, you know, then if Iran attacks back, you know, that's going to be some serious, serious situation.
Now, do you see a, Mike, do you have any sources that see another, maybe Israel invading Lebanon to take out Hezbollah before trying to trigger Iran to do something, and then Syria gets into it? Because I'm kind of thinking, well, from the I have so many articles, I don't even read them yet on the show, but it seems to me that Iran will fit right into that time frame where you just said, if it was, you know, and then is you know, they would attack because Hezbollah and the Palestinians and Syria was smacked, and then they will respond, and then Israel will sort of, because the Bible, what I was reading, Ezekiel 38 and 39, it says that they come as a guard to them, who they are with. So Persia is one of those countries.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it talks about Gog and Magog, like, you know, Russia and Paris, like Persia or Paris. And I think you're right, because, I mean, this could really be prophecy, you know, coming to fold. But you know what? There's a couple of different options, like a lot of the guys in the military are saying. They're like, well, what Iran will do, similar to what you were just talking about with Hezbollah, is they may not, if Israel attacks them, they may not go to war with Israel, which I doubt that. I doubt very much that that Ahmadinejad, like I like to call him, Ahmadinedodo, I doubt very much that he's going to just sit back and not anything. I agree with you.
Yeah, the American people might think he's going to, you know, just sit back and get raped. But I'm on Israel's side. You know, that's God's chosen people.
And me too, bro.
Whoever loves Israel, or, you know, God will bless them. So I have nothing but praise for Israel, because even though I kind of nervous about saying this, but the person who invented the atomic bomb and even one of their people who made E equals MC squared is Jewish. The person who invented television said it's Jewish. Jewish people invented a lot of stuff. If it's the killers or bringing us joy, they invented a lot of stuff. So God has given them enormous skills to bless the world with a lot of, technology, all kinds of stuff, man. So as far as this turn, God is that's still God's people. And go ahead.
Yeah, you know what you were saying about Israel being God's people. Also, this pastor was saying that it could be playing right into prophecy. I mean, where, you know, what you were saying, how China, Russia, they act as a guard, and I see it happening, because now, whenever we need China and Russia to stand up with America and say, "Come on, you know, we need to do sanctions," they always back off, and China just backed off again.
Yeah.
And then China, we all know about the mark and, you know, the New World Order and how we're supposed to have even a global currency or mark of the beast. And China and both Russia have been calling for, like, if anyone goes on Google and types in China calls for a new global currency, they're also doing that. So it's like, I even have friends of mine, you know, that are atheists, and I'm a Christian, of course, but you can see it coming to pass, and even they are starting to realize, you know, that you know, the Bible is valid.
Oh, yes, indeed, indeed, indeed. It's 2012 is the thing that a lot of the secular people are looking at. A lot of Christian people are looking at, but I beg to differ big time, because if 2012 was a hit number, then it would make the Bible incorrect. 2012 is just 2 years away. The tribulation period lasts 7 years, and it hasn't started yet. So that means that it's a number that could be hit, you know, with the beginning of the tribulation period, or possibly close to it, or it could be inside of the tribulation period, but or outside. It can even happen in 2000. Heck, the tribulation period can start 2015. We've been wrong before. But with that being said, I think 2012 is a big time misnumber. It's like Y2K. We've already had Y2K. Now it seems like people should have learned from Y2K. I should have learned.
Right. That's true.
I was the first person to give my pastor a tape saying, "You got to listen to this." And now I feel like a total dweeb, you know, for giving them that tape. But I also pulled out before, you know, before it actually happened, and said, "No, it's not going to happen." And then at the corner of my eye, I was still looking to see if something was going to happen for it. But the Bible has always reigned supreme, and it will continue to reign supreme over everything. His word will not return void to us, you know. But Nostradamus, all these guys, they will fail. And you can tuck that away and nip it in the bud, you know. But, yeah, bro, I wish I could get you on even longer, because we have a lot to talk about. I'm kind of still deterred. I don't know if you've listened to the show before.
No, I came in right at the – I didn't even – I came in, like, right at the end, but I know – I don't know if people were acting up in the chat room. I have the same thing. Matter of fact, what I can do is – you know, I could tell you really some funny things that have happened to me on my show, you know, with people calling in. I know it would be really funny and interesting. But what happened, I kind of just came in where people acting up or something in the chat. I have that sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm almost kind of thinking it's getting me ready for these bigger radio programs, because I'm probably not talking the way I would talk on the no. I mean, I should be practicing right now, but I'm actually super, super, super myself, and I'm trying to be myself at the same time, iron out all the because I say a lot of ums.
Oh, I do that too. Time I listen, I'm like, I say a lot of
I know. It's like you're thinking, and I had to listen to my father passed away a while back, but he used to do the same thing. You know, he would kind of, you know, take his time in saying what he's going to say. By then, you'd have lost people in the chat room. But but anyway, brother, you said that you wanted to talk about Ray Comfort.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and matter of fact, we could bring this, you know, if you ever want to, you know, we could bring it over to this show too. But I had Ray Comfort on. He's an author, and I have to say that, you know, he's world famous, and it wasn't really my idea. I have a co-host on my show, Derek, and he said, you know, it would be good if we can get Ray Comfort on, because he's a Christian apologist, and he has written many books. He has a book that just knocked Richard Dawkins' book, The God Delusion, off the number one spot on Amazon.com. And so Derek said, boy, if we can get him on, you know, he's really good, because he's even talked to people that are evolutionists and things like that. And so I thought, you know what, I'll try contacting him. So I did contact him, and I didn't hear anything for a week. And I thought, they're probably just too busy. And then I did receive a call back from him. But long story short, because I know we're running low on time, he did come on the show, and we talked to him. He has a book called You Can Lead an Atheist to Evidence, But You Cannot Make Them Think. You Can't Make Them Think. And it's
wow.
An excellent book. You could read part of it on Google Books for free. And he came on the show, and we're really talking a lot about this whole evolution thing. And I know there's Christians out there. I don't believe they're false Christians. I believe they're real Christians. But I used to be one of those that believed, that I came from a primate and all this, But when I got out of school and I started researching it, there's really no transitionary forms where, like, a dog turns into a cat or in any of the animal kingdom. So what Ray Comfort's book was, and I'll talk another minute on that, is his whole book was like him going to different museums saying, well, where's the transitionary forms? Like, and he said, like, he went to, I think it was Paris, and they said, oh, here it is. And they had like a stuffed monkey, Lucy or something like that. And that was supposed to be the transitionary form. And then he's taken calls from people saying, well, give me an example of an animal turning into a different animal. And there really is none. And recent polls show that the majority of America are not buying into evolution. I think it was less than 4 in 10, a CBS poll said less than 4 in 10 people believed it. And it's interesting, the ones that are perpetuating it and pushing evolution are atheists, and they tend to be also liberals. But when you ask them, well, where do these give me one transitionary form of one animal turning into another animal, there's nothing.
Wow.
Nothing at all. And then now with DNA, what's really awesome is DNA totally proves design. I will confess it's done a lot for my faith. I mean, if someone is doubting, if they're a Christian and, the world's getting to them, just look at DNA. It's a language.
Yeah.
So it's just phenomenal. So, yeah, we did have him on, and it was great. We usually does 30-minute shows. We were able to get, like, over 40 minutes.
Wow. Well, if you can help me out, man, I would love it if you can, because I'm starting here in Spokane on the radio station here in Spokane, and pretty soon Eastern Washington, the whole Eastern Washington, which covers a whole bunch of people in one shot. And then I'm also going to be going to WWCR, and there's another radio station with an N in it. I just can't remember what it is, but it's network. And the way I actually talk is not how I'm just late. To me, on Blog Talk Radio, I'm sort of laid back, and I'm sort of just getting a feel of broadcasting, and I'm trying to figure out what to say and what not to say and all this other stuff, but at the same time, just say it. It's kind of weird, but I'm the type of person who don't want to scare somebody off, but at the same time, I'm going to tell you if it's right or wrong, you should be doing it. But I'm kind of learning between a common ground, but I want the gospel to be my main, and even with one of the brothers in the room was correct. I have to stay on the word of God, but if I'm bringing on on guests that sort of maybe not saved, maybe they're trying to get a message out that has to do with the word of God. For instance, the mark of the beast, or Israel, or Jewish people. I might bring a Jewish person on here, or whatever, that can share some light on it. But a lot of my guys are going to be born again preachers and teachers and stuff. Especially, I would love to get Ray Comfort on my show nationwide. Now, I'm not talking about Blog Talk. I'm talking about the nationwide one, where I don't have to worry about no doggone chat room, because the chat room just ticks me off, man.
Oh yeah, I can tell you some funny stories, and I'll talk to Ray Comfort, and I have his direct email address. I'll give it to you. I won't give it out on the air, of course, but I'll give it to you. And I know his secretary. I talked to her, and he's just a really nice guy. A lot of people don't know this, but what happened, man? I think you're the only person that knows this. And I'll talk about it on your show. Is when I went to call Ray Comfort. He's been on TV and everything. I mean, he's like world famous. And so I went to call him, and before the show, I said, "Hey, I appreciate you coming on and stuff." He gave me his home number and stuff. And he said, "Hey, can I pray with you?" I mean, the guy's the real deal, And he started, praying with me and stuff, before the show. And the show went great. What we did too, I don't know if you ever heard this one show we did. There was a show where we did where we, and we tease and we joke around with the atheists. We really love them. But sometimes by joking around with them and having a good conversation, they can really see the madness of atheism. So we had one show where we asked the atheist to call in and provide proof and evidence that atheism was accurate and correct, right? Because you know how they always ask Christians for proof and evidence, and we could show scripture and history and even Israel as proof of God, you know, the miracle of Israel. And we can go on. We can fill up semi-truckloads full of proof and evidence. But atheism, the courts have now ruled that it's a religion, So I've always called it a humanist religion. So now if you type anywhere on the internet, courts rule atheism is a religion, it really is a religion. I mean, obviously it's not belief in God, but there's lots of religions that are not belief in God. But it was a great show. We had, you know, it's kind of funny, me being a radio host talking to you, one host to the other. One of the things that was really funny, I was going back to the shows, and the ones that did the best were the ones where I spoke the least. The ones where there were most callers calling in, and, you know, like when we did the atheist show, and we had atheists calling in one after another, I said, okay, prove to me that atheism is accurate and correct. It was all just about faith. But the madness of it was faith in nothing, you know. But that show was one of our number one shows that we did. And so I think that's one thing I learned, to be honest with you, is the more people I can get on, like even people like you and I all together on one call, like maybe five or six people, you know, talking about something, I think people really like that. That's what I've learned.
Yes, indeed, indeed, indeed. That makes a lot of sense. I was listening to a couple of your shows. I'm trying to see. I don't have. Let me see. I want to get you back on.
Oh yeah, man. I'd love to. It'd be an honor to come back on.
Actually, you know what I'd love for you to do is I would like for you. And I don't know how you're gonna feel about this, but since you've already done it before, and I'm probably gonna do it my own self, or maybe later. But maybe we might talk about having you as co-host on that show where Ray Comfort comes on.
Sure,
that would be awesome.
It'd be my pleasure. Yeah, he's a good guy. Just interrupt me if you have to. I don't want to take up all your time, man. But I have like six of my friends, you know, all on YouTube and stuff, Christians, and they're all Christians. And we've never met each other, you know, and it was awesome because there was like six of us there all together. Different people that Ray Comfort, he's touched their lives. And there was a guy that was an agnostic kind of, he didn't really was a Christian, but he kind of believed something was there, kind of not. And then he was able to thank Ray Comfort on the air.
Yeah.
So it was great. But if he's coming on, let me know. I'd be honored to be part of your show. And I'll give you his email. I'll email it to you, and then you could email him and tell him that you were on, that you heard him on my show, and that. Because he has another book out, and his book is, and this is the one, see, rather than you interview him on the one that I already did, now he's got a newer book out called Everything from Nothing. You know how a lot of evolutionists believe that everything came from nothing? I'll find out the actual title, and we could interview him on that book, have him talk about that one.
Exactly. Are you long-winded? No, I'm not talking about tonight. I'm talking about where you normally, and I'm sort of asking you this from a blind side because I already know the answer, but what is your main focus of your ministry?
My main focus on ministry, and I'll kind of tell you like a little secret what we do, is I used to be an atheist myself, so I have a real passion and a love in my heart for people that are in atheism, and not just atheism, anyone that's not a believer, but primarily atheism, and how it's just crazy, it's madness. So what I do And it's kind of just my personality, because I know I've listened to your shows too, and you have a really unique personality, a good personality, and everyone has their different gifts. And mine is I like to use comedy and really show the ridiculousness of atheism. Not attacking anyone personally, but I find if people realize how really silly, you know, atheism is, and I'm not being a hypocrite, I used to be one, that they realize, hey, you know what, I gotta come out of this, you know, I gotta, and we could save them from that. But go ahead.
I was enjoying what you were saying. I'll finish, I guess.
When I just started doing, Blog Talk, I've done different shows, like we've done on motorcycles, we've done them on secrets of witchcraft and paganism. We've done it. But then what I really like is, the heavy hitters, you know, like getting Ray Comfort on. I was like, wow, you know, this is really good. You know, I could do a show, and a great way to do it is that people that have books, you know, they want to really plug their book. And, but I will tell you, I do what you do too, is I don't want to ruin the show with these dodo bird, some of the dodo bird callers that call in, you know. So I will not, if it's a guest, because I want them to be comfortable, I'm certainly not afraid. If you listen to some of our shows, we really mix it up with them. But I don't want the guest to feel uncomfortable, you know, because then I don't want the show to be known as like, man, you know, Shock just let that person get eaten up alive on the show. So with Ray Comfort, what I did is and this is one thing, if I'm going to have a host on the show like that, I'll tell them, look, I'm not going to take any live calls. You know, my job is to go ahead and promote your book or to do, you know, whatever. And then I feel it makes them feel more comfortable, because they don't want to get into where someone's calling up, you know, being mean to them. And, you know how sometimes there's some crazy people out there.
Indeed. Now, do you... are you able to handle a 30-minute show if you were to, say, for instance, because what I want to do is my show is only on once a week. However, it will grow. You know, God is, I just have a, you know, faith that it's going to grow. I'm not talking about this show, but a national show. And what I was looking for, what I'm looking for, if you got the air, you got the equipment at your house or something. Do you have a studio at your house?
No, I just have like, I guess you call it. I just have like a separate room, and I have like two computers networked together, and I have the headsets and, you know, and all that. I don't have like the, I know there's a pastor that has also a, that was on my show, Pastor George. He was on the Ray Comfort Show, and he's got like what you got, and he's got a really good setup. He's even got the radio mic, you know, those real expensive mics that kind of come down. And he's got a really good setup, but I just have, it's all computerized for me, and then just like a headset, and then I like to use the phone, you know, because it's better quality than, Skype. I like Skype and stuff, but
it actually is. My Skype actually ran out today. I guess I went click, and I had to call back in. Right now, I'm using the phone. But what I was getting at is, we got a few minutes. What I was getting at is that what I want to do with this Prophecy Zone is take it to Washington and then more stations. And what I was doing, like what you were talking about earlier, you noticed that a lot of the times when you talk less, the show is better.
Yeah.
What I would like to do is have a multiple, once in a while, have guest hosts, and maybe you can just come on, and you just do it just if you can, interview Mr. Comfort on my show. It'd be everybody's show, because it's just trying to get the word out, you know.
Sure.
And that chief aim is to pass the ball, as long as I get it back.
Oh yeah, no problem, brother.
It gives you opportunity to get out and let your hair down in another, for me, I don't have any hair, so it'd be hard, kind of hard, but anyway, get out there and do what God has probably called it. That's probably me and you supposed to have, it was ordained a long time ago, you know, before the foundation of the earth, that we be running a radio program to not just Blog Talk people, but to everybody. And If you want to, I'd love for you to be able to do at least once a month.
Oh yeah, I could do it. I would love to do it. You know, it's pretty awesome that you and I, we've never gone on the radio show before, and I think because the experience you have and I have, we're able to kind of, you know, keep the conversation going. As a radio host, my worst fear is I don't want dead silence, you know, and I remember when we first started doing radio, it's like you feel like God, you have to create something, you know, just out of nothing, and, you know, like I'm like, oh, well, what, you know, what happens if I get to a lull in the show, you know, but no, I'd love to do it, and,
Because last week, I had 55 people. Well, it was 55 people. It ain't a lot of people.
Wow, that's good.
I had 55 people looking at the same time, and then now I got 20. But it's also my fault because I really don't do any advertising. I still haven't hit the search engines with my page or nothing yet. So that's in the works, too. I'm not going to leave Blog Talk at all because I enjoy the camaraderie there, but you know, I just enjoy Blog Talk, period.
Well, you know,
and
I wanted to invite you.
I'm going to be sort of always cautious about a lot of the callers that call in. As a matter of fact, I'm even thinking about having some type of a call-in club where I just know who's calling in, and that's kind of bold to do that. But I don't have the staff to screen the calls. I have the premium package, but I don't have the other person to stream the call, so it makes it kind of hard, you know. You want to answer that phone, but after the last, if you listen to my last radio program, you know what I'm talking about. And
I was listening to one earlier today, and these people were prank calling. But you know what? I'll email you this too.
Uh-huh.
Is there's a Christian Unity gathering on? That just unity to like unify, you know, on Stickum, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to stickum.com. It's like a chat room video, and I'll send you that link. It's not, it's just something that's started building up, and like you can go in there and, you know, I could introduce your show to folks and stuff. It's just like a chat room, like a text chat, but
okay.
If someone has a headset mic, and I think it's on next Sunday or something like that.
Okay.
And I'll email you that link too. And then I'm going to be there. I'm supposed to, they want me to talk like 10 minutes on, you know, what Christians should unify. And it's a great way to network too. And it's free. And it'll be great.
Okay, cool.
I'll introduce you there. Because there'll be a lot of Christians there, a lot of them that come to my show too. So it should be great. But yeah, I'd love to do that. You know, it'd be great. Yeah, there's so many ideas too, and like with what's happening in the news with Iran and Israel.
If you can, we'll talk offline, but if you can, just look for people like you just said a few minutes ago. You was talking about looking for people with books and say who want to plug their own, you know, you never know. So if you can, just find, even if it's on Blog Talk Radio, find somebody who, you know, because I'm going to be doing that same thing. I've already gotten, you know, quite a few people that's lined up to come on here in the next couple of weeks and months. So it's the last day, so I probably have to get really, really hot. And I was trying to look for Tim LaHaye, but I have to get the station to help me out with that.
Yeah, I think also I'll talk real quick. I see the time going. I think also too is I'm going to use. We can use the stepping stone method where, you know, as you get heavier and heavier hitters on, like, you know, Ray Comfort, everyone knows him, you know, and then you could say, hey, you know, I've had Ray Comfort on, I've had this person, that person. You know how they could download it, the show in MP3, they can listen to it, so it'd be great. But, yeah, what I'll do is I'm going to look for his latest book. It'll only take me like a minute, and then I'll also email you it, and then I'll email you the his secretary's email address, and you could say that, you know, you and I are friends, and that you wanted to talk about his book on that show, and then that I would, yeah, I'll definitely be there, you know, as a host also, well, as a co-host, I should say, and that show went really well, you know, that we did with him, so it should work out really good.
Partners, who is the other person? We can keep going for a few minutes after the theme song go off. But who is your partner? to interview Ray Comfort, because that's what I actually want. I want it smooth. Now, I can introduce y'all, but we will probably have to use Blog Talk.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do that. And then, yeah, what we did is we just kind of all called in right before the show, you know,
okay.
Like 5 minutes before, and we didn't take any calls. Because otherwise there's all, you know, we wanted to keep it real positive. And so I told Ray, I go, look, Ray, I'm not going to take any calls. Just the people that are going to be on the line are, you know, fans of yours and stuff. And I had like six people on the line when he called in. But yeah, he does have that other book, which is newer than his latest book. We'll see if we can get him on with that.
Yeah. And that'd be awesome, man. That would be just awesome. And that'll be a blessing from above if we can get him on here. But thank you so much, man, on the show. And we're going to go a little bit past after I play this theme song. Is that fine?
All right. You want me to stay on?
Yeah, just stay on.
All right.
God bless. I'd like to say goodbye to everybody out there. And next week we're going to have Rapture Ready Radio on. So God bless everybody out there. See y'all later. God bless. All right, bro.
All right. How you doing, man?
Yeah, we still streaming somewhat, so they can actually still listen. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you her email address is Anita, and I'll give it to you through the email. But, I'll see if we can get him on that. He does, like, 30-minute shows.
That's what it is. Minute show.
Yeah.
And it's taped. So we can take Blog Talk, take it down, cut off the Blog Talk radio thing, and send it in. I have to make sure everything, they don't have no clause in it that says it's theirs or something like that or whatever. But other than that, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm probably going to be doing for a while. And we probably, did you have a chat room that day, though?
I did. We had a lot of people that was there. It's our number one show that we've done. And what we did is I use YouTube to get the word out, and I I'll do it about a week in advance. You know what you could do too, which is the easy way, any of the shows that I did, like even the Ray Comfort show, you could download it and then, you know, just split it up. You have my permission to do it, and just split it up, and then just, you know, do it as a rebroadcast, whatever you want to title it. Because there's certain parts, like, you know, what happened? I got to tell you what happened on that. When I went to call him, well, he said, well, just go ahead and call me before the show. And usually I have them call in. I'm like, wonder if I even have three-way calling, you know, because I had to call him to bring him on the show, you know, because I don't have the fancy professional Blog Talk. I just have the one you sign up free, you know. So he wasn't calling in, and I go, well, maybe he thinks he forgot I'm supposed to call him. So I went to call him, and while I'm calling him, he calls in. So the start of the show, you hear like his answering machine, because I didn't know how to flash over. So hokey. So you hear his answering machine, and like there's all these noises. But then after it got going, it was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really good. So you could even download it. That was like, it was almost like I think like a professionally, like the shows you hear on the radio is so good. And then we had, there's a guy named Gear Up, GEERUP on YouTube. And he's like the number one Christian YouTube channel on YouTube. He's like huge, you know? So I emailed him. I'm like, hey, do you want to come on? I'm having Ray Comfort. He goes, yeah. So I got him on, You know, so then I had a real pastor on, and so it was great. I had some, you know, heavy hitters on that.
Yeah.
On YouTube there.
Yeah, yeah. That's wow. Well, yeah, man. I would love to download that and at least, you know, play it on this show. But yeah, I wanna get some live action with that one, because that do the trick as far as if people leaving your show got some type of, you know, some type of credibility. If you can get people on that's going to spread the gospel, but have, you know, some meat behind it instead of some, you know, sour cream or something. You know, you want some umph behind your people that's going
right
to come on your show. Yeah.
And we could. Yeah, and that's my. I really like it. You know, the doing the radio show. I you probably enjoy it too. I really like it. It's a great way to, you know, it's like advertising for folks, and it also is. You know, it's a great way to you know, get whatever message they want out. So I really, really enjoy it. I more so than YouTube, because YouTube you only get like 10 minutes. But like we did. I did the show on witchcraft, where we talk about some secrets of witchcraft. That was like, I think, one of our first shows that was real big. And then I ride motorcycles, so we did some motorcycle shows.
Yeah.
Even gaming, if someone's really into gaming, I know that's, you know, I don't know how much people could. That's the thing, is like some guys will do gaming radio shows or motorcycle shows, and I'm like, you know what, I get bored with it. There's only so much you can talk about, you know.
Exactly. Well, okay, bro. Oh, man. We could probably go for a while, but thank you, man, so much for being a guest on the show.
Yeah,
man.
What I'll do is I'll email you right now from my from the Blog Talk one. And, oh, hey, thanks for having me. And I'll email you right now, and I'll email you his address, and then say, like, my name's Rich. So just say, hey, you know, I talked to Rich, and he wants, you know, you could say that, you know, we want to have you on another show, you know, co-host. I'll be there too if you want to tell him that, and talk about his other book, and it's a different show. Say, in this time, you know, I mean, 30 minutes is fine, you know, if you want to come on and talk about that. Same thing, you just tell him, you know, we're not taking any callers, but we just want you to come on and, you know, talk about your book. And then I had him plug his website also, so it worked out really good. And then I could advertise it too, because it gives me excuse, since I'm going to be on your show. You know, I could advertise it that I'm co-hosting. You know, I'll be your co-host. And so I'll use my YouTube, because I have over 3,600 subscribers on my YouTube channel. And more that look at it, so I could do that. But okay, I'll email it to you right now at the at your Blog Talk. I got to go to my Yahoo, and then I'll
that's fine. How do you use the search engine? Search engines to do that, or you just know how to make good videos? I mean, what's going on there?
Well, what I do, have you ever gone to my YouTube channel? If you go
to because I didn't even notice it. I mean, I'm on so many people's pages. It's just like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, like if you go to shockforever.com, it points to my YouTube channel, Shock Forever. And I do, like, motorcycle videos, and then I'll do some gaming videos, because it really attracts the younger crowd, and I get them, you know, interested in the gospel. So I kind of merged it all together. So then the radio show, I'll talk about the YouTube channel. And then on the YouTube channel, I'll talk about the radio show. You see how they play off against each other. Synergistically. So what I'll do is, like for example, if you go to shockforever.com, you'll see like some of the Ray Comfort clips from the show. So you see what you could do is I'll put some of the clips there, and then it has a link to the show, and so then they'll listen to it. And there's a lot of atheists on YouTube. You know, it's like an atheist mecca. So anything you do, you know, if you do anything that talks about atheism or evolution, that's like some of the most popular things on YouTube. So really, it's a real draw. But no, all I do is I just do like a video. Oh, well, I'll email that to you too. The Stick'em channel.
Okay.
A friend of mine's having that it's like a get together, and it's like a big chat room and stuff, and then they kind of talk and stuff. And if you're there, let me know, and I'll kind of introduce you, and I'll tell people to, you know, check out your show.
Yeah.
And that'll get more people there too. But
yeah, you got 256,000 YouTube views. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. So there's a lot of them that view. Well, you know, my channel been taken down like 7 times because the atheists and everything. They'll flag, like, let's say you do a video like on pro-life, right? Like how abortion's wrong or something. They'll flag it, you know. And if you say homosexuality is a sin, or they'll flag it, you know. And there's things that you can say on Blog Talk Radio, but if you said those things on YouTube, they attack your channel down. So I've had like 7 of my channels, you know, taken down.
Yeah.
But I kind of do it, excuse me, we kind of do it where we will synergistically use them. And then we have like a chat room that, you know, it's open 24 hours, and well, we do a lot of different things.
Yeah, but, yeah. I'm sitting here watching my numbers go up on this thing, man. And I'm like, man, you're listening to the wrong show. Jeez. Man, I would love if you can come on, and, you know, if you can also, 30 minutes, man, you can't go wrong. So if you can come on and, you know, once a month, take, you know, just get a show going, because I'm trying to give them a piece of different people, including guests. Of course, I'm going to have to go ahead and be long-winded a couple of times, because I want to talk about a lot of things in the Bible. So I'm going to take a show out to do that. And pretty soon they're going to move me to an hour, you know, and I see that coming. But if the Lord wills and time tarries, they will do that. So, but that's what Blog Talk Radio is good for. It's good for to give me real practice, so I'll know, you know, how the radio thing works. But it's an awesome platform. It has its troubles once in a while, but I'm still happy with it. I'm blessed. You know, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. Thank you so much.
Well,
man,
you're good at it too. I've listened to what I did today. I was out working,
yeah.
And so I have an MP3 player. So I downloaded your I can't remember what show I downloaded of yours, and I downloaded it, and I was listening to part of it. So you're really good at it, you know. And it was a lady that you were talking to. Oh, I remember when she was talking to it. It was real interesting. Like, she knew Benny Hinn and, you know, different things. So I know how Benny Hinn's kind of whacked. You know, he's whacked. But she was talking about Benny Hinn when she worked there, and you know, different teachings, you know, like that they would teach, and where he was saying that at one time animals talked, and, you know. So that was really interesting. I was listening to one of your shows.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you very much. Yeah, God bless you, man.
Hey, you too, man. I'm logging on. I'll log on right now. I'll let you go, and
okay.
I'm going to email you those links. I'll email you the Stick'Em one, but then I'll email you. I'm going to go look what his latest book was, so I know you could tell him which one. And then if you tell him you talked to Rich in you know, California, it should, you know, we'll see what happened. And yeah, and then let me know. On the time, but like the times is good for me. Like, I think I can't remember what day we did his. I don't know if it was a Sunday. So I mean, I don't know if you could do it Sunday. Like, I can do it any time, like after like 6, you know, Pacific time, like even the time, like right now, or
yeah,
the time you did your show today, like
yeah,
the same day and everything would be good. Maybe we can do it like the Thursday.
Yeah.
And then I'll get the word out on it too. I don't mind. I'll put it on my YouTube channel and get the word out that he's going to be on. But we just we don't want to take calls, because they're going to, you know, a lot of the atheists. I had 26 phone calls calling into that show, and, you know, trying to just over and over, like, you know, trying to crash it, you know. And I was, and, you know, I didn't want to ruin the show, but.
Yeah, okay. Me. Oh, man. All right. Thank you, bro.
All right, man.
You have a God bless night, man.
You too, man. I'm in Blog Talk right now. I'll email it to you right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, man.